Earlier this month, Unit 5 received pushback from parents of athletes who objected to requirements for COVID testing to participate in sports. Superintendent Kristen Weichel said she was disappointed because some of those parents were among those calling for the district to do whatever it takes to get the kids playing again. In this interview, Superintendent Weichel says that issue has gone away.
To my knowledge, we actually only had one family who chose not to have their student test.
And has the vocal pushback halted?
Yes, yes.
Have there been other bobbles, as might be expected when new procedures and processes are in place, to the resumption of sports?
You know, I don't think so. Unlike some of the other districts in our conference, we are allowing, at least two spectators at the high school and one spectator at the junior high to come and observe and watch their child's events. I know, you know, there are several schools in the area and in our conference that are not allowing any spectators. So I think parents are appreciative that, you know, they have that opportunity to watch their son or daughter participate and compete.
You are in the middle of an equity audit. Certainly there are some reportables coming out, even though the final report is not ready. What are you finding?
Actually, we have not received the results of any part of the equity audit yet. Dr. Dubiel said that she hopes to have that to us, you know, by June at the latest for us to review, and we will be making a presentation to the board and to the community in August.
What sort of timeline do you want to have for implementation?
Even though, you know, the plan isn't formalized, we have been working on a variety of things throughout this school year and will continue to do so. The district equity leadership team, which is made up of certified and non-certified staff, as well as some administrators, they are developing an implementation plan for the 2021-22 school year. And so that's what we'll present in August, and we're looking at a variety of things, such as systems, like what are the policies, procedures that we have in place. We're looking at the teaching and learning aspect. We're looking at student voice, climate and culture, professional learning or professional development, and then family and community. Some of those are long-term items that will carry over into the following school year. The purpose of doing this is so that way we will review it and revise the plan at least on an annual basis. Kind of similar to what school improvement plans have been like in the past, this will, you know, truly be that living, breathing document that we update the board and the community and staff about, as well as continue to change based on our needs and the progress that we've made.
The governor's budget speech largely holds education flat. However, that will mean it's going to be at least 2 years, and with the state finances in very tight shape, it's likely that there will be multiple years where there will be no increase in state support for school districts. How much do increasing costs eat into your buying power every year if state support continues to be flat?
I don't have a percentage off the top of my head, but it definitely impacts schools. As you said, it really would be the second year of basically flat funding. And of course, our expenses don't remain flat. They do increase, whether that be energy costs, supplies and materials, you know, equipment, personnel due to contracts. Unfortunately, that flat funding does put not only Unit 5, but schools across the state really behind when it comes to the equitable funding and the evidence-based funding model. And unfortunately, it makes me fearful that we'll get back to the predicament we used to be in several years ago, where funding would decrease or remain flat, costs would increase. And so any time expenses are greater than revenue, you have a problem on your hands.
That's Unit 5 School Superintendent Kristen Weichel.